Well, all right. I'm encouraged. Of course, that's my wife. She can tell me to do anything and I'll do it. I'm sure all you husbands are thinking the same, right? Hey, it's good to be with you. It's an exciting day. A lot of great energy. And we were praying with and talking with those getting baptized. And man, it's refreshing if you've been baptized and just that memory of that moment. I think it was 18 years, and on August 19th was my 18-year baptism birthday, and so I kind of forgot until we were shooting for this. Yeah, absolutely. But I remember the moment, and so I was just reminding and talking with everybody getting baptized today. And hey, maybe you haven't registered, and maybe you're thinking, I need to get baptized. I want to tell you something, or maybe you re-baptized, and some people wonder, the big question is, can I get rebaptized? You know, Paul addressed this situation because there was an issue between Gentiles and Jews whenever they were coming to Christ, and it literally was creating a division and an argument. Well, Paul said, hey, listen, it doesn't matter at the end of it. Don't argue over these things. These things are not important. What is important is Christ, and what is important is that you just go and sin no more, that you come out clean. And so Jews, they will get baptized or rebaptized every time they overcome a mental cycle or a sin, or they overcome something, they get baptized, and then they get baptized, and they get baptized. And so maybe that's you, like, you know what? I want to celebrate the fact that I'm done with this thing. We've been going through 21 days of prayer for breakthrough, and maybe you found that breakthrough, and maybe it's time to get cleansed from the thing that you left behind in the previous 21 days of prayer. So don't feel bad if you're like, man, I've already been baptized. But then Paul addressed that issue. He says, well, then if you've been baptized, then just walk in the baptism that you've received. So wherever the Holy Spirit is talking to you and leading to you, just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Is that good? That's really what we want for everything and for everyone. And that's what leads us into today, because we're in our new series, Real People, Bold Faith. I think that's what Christ wanted us to be and wants us to be, is just real people, but express bold faith in everything that we do. Real people means I'm the same outside of the church as I am inside of the church. Real means it's okay. I can talk about Christ and express my faith or exhibit it through word and deed. And maybe I don't even mention Jesus. It's just how I carry myself and the conversations I have, how I love people, how I introduce myself to Him. Whatever the case, I don't have to be religious to be bold in faith. But I do need to learn how to be real. And being real is I don't have to feel like I'm in the world. You know, in the world, you think, well, I can just be a real person. That's why people sometimes struggle coming to Christ. Well, I can just be myself. I can just be myself. I can just be who I kind of want to be. And, you know, I don't have to have all these restrictions or laws and legalism and it be bound to anything. And all the while, you don't realize how bound you are whenever you're not in Christ. And so there's this two-sided, you think you're real, but in reality, it's a false version of you. Because that's not who Christ is called. That's not who God created you to be, and He knew you from your mother's womb, from before you were knit in your mother's womb. So the real authenticator and the real author of who you are, your true self, is going to be defined by Him, not your understanding of who you want to be. So most of us end up living out our false self, never understanding our true self. Now, it's the same for many who are in Christ. Many who are in Christ are still living out their false self. They just put on a mask when they come to church. Or they put on a mask when they go to small group. I'm good. How you doing? I'm good. Blessed and highly favored, brother. You already know. What's under the mask, though? What's underneath there? Because that's not a real person either. That's a person who's really coming to church. But it's still a false self. It's like pride, there's pride, and then there's false humility, which is equivalent to pride. But there's a sweet spot that God's all trying to lead us all to, and that's where we find His greatest favor, and that's real people with bold faith. I mean, I don't have to act like anything I'm not. I'm just going to be who I am. I'm going to be who Christ has called me to be, and I'm going to overcome my insecurities in the process, but I am going to talk about Jesus, or I am going to deliver you the product that Jesus gave to me. Whether I even mention His name or not, you're going to experience Him, because Jesus has a way of just showing up in a room whenever He's honored or His ways are honored and His will is honored. Yes. So He can show up without even being mentioned, because Jesus is Jesus. Yes. And the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit moves when the Holy Spirit wants to move. All we have to do, in fact, it's not even our job to get anybody saved. It is our job to love people well, to have real people and have bold faith. It's actually the Holy Spirit's job to lead people to Jesus so Jesus can restore them back to the Father. You see how easy it really is? Let's not overcomplicate it. We overcomplicate it because we won't be real. We won't be really who we've been designed to be. And so that's what this series is all about, is discovering what real people with bold faith actually look like. Because we have to embrace authenticity to be real. Embrace authenticity, because there's power in authenticity. When I just naturally be who God's created me to be and developing me to be, He blesses that and He empowers that. He shows favor in that. And all He's asking me to do is just be authentic. Don't hide. Just be real. So we have to be vulnerable as well. And if we're going to be authentic, we have to be vulnerable. Being vulnerable requires me to actually trust God as a protector and provider. So I can no longer protect myself in my own ego, my own mannerisms, my own safety mechanisms, my own self-protection. So I've got to learn how to be trusting and faithful in vulnerability. That means I've got to allow some things in my life that I may not like. I may not allow some people in my life that I'm not so sure. I got to do some vulnerable things. I got to say some things. I got to engage into same things. I may have to join a tribe, a small group. I don't really like people, but I need community. I need to be vulnerable. I don't like sharing my stuff. Well, guess what? That's where healing and empowerment comes, is through vulnerability. And God does something supernatural. And that's why Satan wants to keep us from being authentic and being vulnerable. We have to be honest and we have to be transparent in our walk with God and with others. You see, many are like, man, I like God. I just don't know about the church. Well, I'm sorry. You can't love God and not love the church.
Come on. I've
got so many things that I want to say. I want to try not to be too harsh, but it doesn't make any sense to love the head and not love the body. That doesn't work for your marriage. That doesn't work for any situation. It's not going to work. It doesn't work for your walk with Christ, because God has designed you and me in such a way where we actually need people. We have to have people. And so therefore, we have to do some change. There has to be some grace and mercy and love and development in our own lives. But I don't know if you've ever found yourself to be pretending. I think at some point we all pretend. There's a temptation to pretend. Have you ever thought about, why do I pretend? What is it that wants to cause me to pretend? Is it other people's expectations? Is it a fear of judgment? Is it maybe an interpretation of what you think something should look like? In this context, what a Christian should look like. Or have you ever judged somebody based on your pretensions, the things that you think a Christian should look like, only because you feel like you need to act a certain way because of what people may think? You see how this works? This is what causes us. We get lost in this trap and we start putting on masks and we forget, we lose who we really are and who Christ has designed us and desires for us to be. But you need to understand, you and I, we all need to understand the same reality. God can't heal the fake you. He meets and transforms the real you. And the real you is only brought forth through vulnerability and authenticity, transparency, and allowing God to really touch the real parts of you. Because God won't heal what you protect. So many times in so many prayers, so many petitions are being laid out there. Lord, heal this. Lord, do this. Lord, deliver this. However, those prayers are more external rather than you being vulnerable and allowing God to come in to heal the stuff that may be actually causing the problem that you're praying for. That was better than your response, but I'm sure it's saturating in if you're going to marinate on that. Because if you keep protecting your own ego and your own way, your false self, what your righteousness and your self-righteousness and your self-protection, and you keep protecting that, well, God can't heal the ultimate situation, both internal and external. So oftentimes the external issues that you're dealing with that happen in your life is a blessing from God to reveal there's some internal work that He still needs to get done. Amen, Pastor. You're on a roll. So real people with bold faith, they understand this, that Jesus came full of grace and truth. And thank God for that. Full of grace and truth. In John 1:14, He says this. He says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Thank God. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is good news, and many of us don't know exactly how this works together, how the package works hand in hand, because many of us want grace. And we think everything should be all about grace. And then there's another party that just wants truth and thinks the truth just needs to be delivered. Well, reality, one without the other, is no good. So there's a point that we need to carry that is that grace flows where truth goes. So if I allow the truth of God's word and what he's saying in his will to penetrate my life, my heart, my mind, then I don't have to carry that or receive that with condemnation, guilt, or shame, because grace, it's already, his truth is already impregnated with grace. So he's going to split right to the bone, right to the marrow, between bone and marrow. He's going to split and hit right at the point, but then he's going to release grace in the place that his truth begins to cut. See, wherever the sword of the Lord cuts, it heals. And it can only heal because it's full of grace and mercy. So wherever truth goes, grace will flow. John 1:14, it reminds us also that Jesus embodied, while it does remind us that Jesus embodies grace and truth, grace without truth is meaningless. Grace without truth is meaningless, and truth without grace is unbearable. Too much truth becomes weighty and heavy. But if you just give somebody a bunch of grace, 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 but you don't give them what's going to change or transform them, you're doing them no favor. There's no justice in that. But together, they are truly transformational. Remember the woman at the well? The woman at the well who was out alone and Jesus went to meet her alone, well, she was hiding in shame, and so much so that she wasn't even out there at the well at an hour that other women would have been there retrieving water. So she lived in so much shame that she had to go by herself. That's rough. You know you're in a drought season or a drought place of life that you have to go out alone. Not even your community wants to be around you. But Jesus gently exposed the truth about her life. He spoke right to the issues, the matter of heart. No, you're right. You don't have one husband. And in fact, you've had five. He spoke right to the issue of her heart, her soul, the details. But he didn't condemn her. He actually offered her living water. And that's what real people with bold faith do. They speak the truth in love and they release grace in the same environment. They saturate the moment, the relationship, the conversation in much grace, but never neglect the truth because they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. You see, a lot of us, we step back, especially in the South. Like if in the North, they'll just tell you what's up and they'll just be real blunt about it and move on. And they'll give you one chance to make a change and otherwise they're gone. Now down in the South, we usually just, you know what, I just don't want to say anything, bless their heart, we just disappear. We just quit going to holidays. We quit going to birthdays. Or we show up late after Cousin Eddie's gone. And eventually we just quit going to church as well. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But truth tells us where we are. Grace shows us where we can go. See, truth says, hey, here's where you're at. Here's what's going on. Here's the reality of this matter. But then grace releases something in the moment that actually empowers, not only creates this, you get what you don't deserve, but better than what you deserve, but it actually releases something inside, because now when sin is exposed or ways of living or thinking are exposed, and yet you're still received by grace and with grace, there's something revelatory, there's an opening, there's an awakening, there's an empowerment that takes place in the individual who's receiving that grace that lifts them back up, puts them back on their feet, and says, if this one who follows Christ can support me in this moment, then what else could be possible for my life? See, all these transformational things take place that we can't logically understand, because it's in those moments by design the Holy Spirit shows up and does a work that only the Holy Spirit can know and understand. All we get to do and all we should do is be receiving and imparting. Amen, Pastor. So for real people with bold faith, weakness is the door to power. Well, this is counterculture, so we may be onto something. Weakness is the door to power. What are you talking about? Well, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he tells us about his own story. He says, but he said to me, my grace, this is the Lord speaking to Paul by way of the Spirit, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. You see, this is so counterculture. We want to look strong. We want to look brave. We want to look bold. We want to look like we're in control, like we've got it all together. We want to look like we don't need help. We want to look like we don't need community. We want to look like we don't need others. We want to look like we're independent. We're good on our own. I can do bad on my own. I can do good on my own. We want to approach life in this way. But the problem is, It actually stunts our spiritual growth. It stunts us from maturity. So we have to work and work and work and effort and effort and effort to look like something God is just trying to hand over to us. And his ways are obviously higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And 2 Corinthians 12, 9 teaches us that God's power isn't revealed in our strength. So the only way to understand or begin to understand or experience or to have God's power revealed in our lives is to understand and own and yield to the fact that we are weak inside of him. You know, when our ego is built up and leading, we're blinded by our weaknesses they still exist. And most likely, other people can still see all of these weaknesses. We are just blinded to them, and therefore, we're resisting the blessings and the power and the grace of God in our area, in our areas of our life that we actually need to be able to function according to his will and his way. I used to live like that. Man, this is the way. This is the way we lived in our town. This is the way we lived growing up. You know, you grow up in sports. You're an athlete. You're known. You're all these things. And you have this persona. You've got it all together. You're good. Everything's good. I can do it on my own. But I remember whenever I could no longer do it on my own. I remember whenever life started crumbling down. Now, you can hide it for a little while, but when God really starts to want to do a work in your life, he really starts to put the pressure on, you got to really stress it, sweat it out. You got to really fight for it to manifest it on your own strength, to make it happen. But when I caught this scripture, it was as if God had already been tearing my kingdom down. He had tore all my idols down. And when I caught this scripture, I realized the more vulnerable I become, the more I just embrace the fact that I am insignificant without him. I am insignificant in the areas that I tried to look significant. When I really started to own what was going on in here and yet I was trying to hide and overwork my false self, when I really started to humble myself and become weak before the Lord and embrace the fact that my weakness gains and attracts his strength, then that began to change and transform everything in every area of my life. So no longer did I want to act like I had it all together, but I'd rather yield and let him put it together. No longer did I want to act like I had everything and good relationships. I'd rather yield and humble myself so that he could prepare me to know how to have a relationship. That's really good. And so he changes things. He shows us things because truly his power is made manifest, is made known, is seen when we'll just own our human weaknesses. So everywhere there's complications and there's a cycle of issues and complications, there's most likely an evidence that points to an area in your life where you're still trying to be strong, but God is just saying, I can do it if you'll just show your weakness. So then we learn how to thank God for the issues and the concerns and the cycles, the brokenness, the problems, the things that go on in our lives that are unfavorable in mind, but they actually may be favorable because they're identifying something that needs to be transformed in heart. So when we drop the mask, God releases his power. So it's when it comes to, I'm good, blessed, I'm highly blessed and highly favored to, you know what? It's not going so well this week, but I serve an amazing God, and he's a good provider, he's a good protector, and I know his presence is with me. I'm just waiting for the transformational work to take root. That's a real person with bold faith, because it's saying, I'm weak, but I know he's strong, and if I stay this course and let him do the transformation, he's going to impregnate something inside of me that's going to create boldness, and he's going to give me what I need in the time of need. That's where real people, bold faith looks like. Real people with bold faith understand that healing happens in community. I can't do life alone. I'm not designed to do life alone. In fact, every time someone did life alone in the Bible, it ended badly. It did not go well for them. I know because of real people in bold faith understand that healing happens in community. James, the brother of Jesus, tells us this in 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This is an identification that you need somebody around you. Others means you need to have a community around you. And because we know problems exist and problems never go away, then I need to, in advance, have a community of people that I've built trust with and relational equity, so in the future, when things happen and they go bad, I can easily be vulnerable and transparent and honest with what's going on in my life and invite them to come pray for me so that I can be healed, so I don't have to keep experiencing the same problem over and over and over. You see how this works? Yeah. Well, see, the trap of the enemy is you don't need community. You're too busy. You got too much going on. You don't need people to open up to. That's a lie. You're good on your own. See, Satan loves to speak into that natural false self, independent spirit, or that shame or that insecurity. And we start to own personality traits like insecurity. We start to, we own it, we avoid it, but we're saying, you know, I'm just too busy, independent. We start to make up little peripheral definitions for what we really are is really trying to avoid the very thing that God has provided for us to find healing, find community, find strength, find deliverance. He says this, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Well, if I'm avoiding community, then ultimately I'm not going to receive the prayer, the powerful and effective prayers of another brother, another sister. But real people, bold faith, is healing comes in community. Healing comes when I yield myself. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you know King David from the Old Testament in 2 Samuel 12. There's a story where David quit going out with his community. David sent his army out but stayed home. David decided to, you know, I'm going to be fine on my own. David found himself with eyes that wandered. David found himself inviting a mistress over. David found himself outside of community, living in leading his own life towards sin. David found himself in temptation. Why? Because he didn't have others around him to encourage him, to pray for him, to have a third eye for him, to watch his back. You know, sometimes we just need people that will help us not be ourselves while loving us while we're ourselves. That's what grace and truth does. I love you no matter what you do. I see you as God sees you, but hey, this ain't good. Let me tell you how this goes. And in 10, 20 years, how do you want to tell this story right here? You see, sometimes as humans, we get so pigeonholed. We get so focused on things right now that we lose peripheral. We lose sight of what the bigger picture. And so without community, we don't get to see or be reminded of the bigger picture down the road. And so we need community. We need people around us who know us and can watch and speak into our lives when we start to become us. We all need it. None of us are above it. David tried to cover his sin with Bathsheba. Prophet comes in, Nathan, and he says, hey, What you did is wrong. He addressed it. He confronts him. We all need, and you're blessed. You have a Nathan in your life. Thank you. You're welcome. It's my pleasure. David confessed and the healing began. Listen, there was consequences, right? There was consequences that David had to deal with. He put himself in sackcloth and fasted, and he actually lost a son over this issue. Now he repented. God restored him. But it could have been avoided if he just had community. If he just had people that he would allow to speak into his life. And so this is where we understand as well that private battles are won in public surrender. Private battles are won in public surrender. And so I may be battling something privately, but I need that trusted group of people. It doesn't have to be, I'll say this, not everybody needs to know your business, but somebody needs to know your business. And I would petition or ask you that. Does somebody know your business? Are you transparent with somebody? I mean, at least one person that knows your inside junk, still loves you and sees you through the eyes of the Father, but yet will address you, will communicate you with you. And it's a hard conversation to be in. And sometimes it stinks to have that conversation with somebody. But I can tell you there's something supernatural that happens in those moments. There's something supernatural that happens for you. There's something supernatural that happens for the other individual. And you know what? Sometimes you're even struggling with something that your friend you're in community with is struggling with. And the moment someone becomes vulnerable and transparent, God starts to do an inner work in both of you. And so they both get the blessing and the benefit of the relationship when one actually becomes vulnerable. Now the other, it's an impartation. I want to invite the worship team to come on up. And I want to encourage you. I'm telling you, we can't do this alone. Real people, bold faith, have to learn how to be our true self, have to learn how to walk away from the false self, we have to learn how to spend time with our Father, spend time with the Lord, and allowing Him to identify what are some of the hang-ups in my life, what are some of the things that are hindering me from walking in the fullness of who you've created me to be. These are real questions for real believers, because once those things are identified and once we become comfortable with our authentic self, by nature, boldness starts to be exposed. Boldness starts to come out. Boldness starts to come out in our conversations. By nature, you're sitting at the gas pump having bold conversations with strangers. Instead of having to force yourself to have a conversation, instead of having to force yourself to pray for somebody, instead of having to force yourself to do something that you know you should be doing by faith. You see, that's all religion. Relationship and true walk with Christ comes when I just naturally become my healed self, my authentic self. And what's going to bubble up and overflow because of my community with the Holy Spirit, my unity with the Holy Spirit, my learning to commune and do life with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden He starts to take over in moments, and He gives me these little earnings or these little temps, these little pushes, little pressure points to say something, to do something. And if I don't understand, I'll think it's me doing it. But in reality, it's my nearness with the Holy Spirit, because I've allowed Him to clean my hands and purify my heart. And all of a sudden, I just begin to walk as my natural self, who God has ultimately created me to be, and I've overcome the corruption of this world. So I want to petition again. I'm going to lay it up again. Hey, if today is a day where you feel like you need to get baptized or rebaptized, or God has truly healed you from something, or that breakthrough in the 21 days, you are like, I want to put a stamp on that thing. We have 15 people being baptized, but I'd love to see another 15 get baptized. And this is not between anybody else but you and God. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, you know, the best thing you can do is say, yes, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'll do it. I'll do whatever you're asking of me. And whatever the Holy Spirit may be saying to you today, because I know He's speaking. I know He's in this room. And He can speak 100 different things to 100 different people at one time. And please don't carry this hard attitude that says, you know what, my issue is not big enough. He can help somebody else right now. Your God is too small if he can't help everybody in the room and this world at the same time. So I want to invite you to serve a bigger God, one that can get outside of your box and maybe even help you outside of your box. I want to invite you to a different story. I want to invite you also into community. Thrive Tribes are starting soon. There's enough for you. If not, there's not enough, we'll open up some others so you can have community. But it's important that we find community, that not only do we start and register for a tribe, but we actually see it through to the end of the semester. You see, there's something that happens supernaturally when we just begin to get in community. My life was transformed in a circle of small groups. I realized that coming out of my old lifestyle, that people could actually love me, hear me, and accept me right where I was, and I could become vulnerable and transparent and honest. And it's the same thing we want for every individual in this room. See, we don't need the numbers in the tribes. We need people to find freedom and healing in tribes so that you can be released wherever God is going to lead you in life. We want you to be released, free, changed, transformed, coming out of healthy community and moved into and moved with the Spirit of God wherever he takes you, whenever he chooses to take you. That's the responsibility and role of this church, your church. That's how we're here to serve you. So I want to lead you in prayer as the worship team's getting ready. What is your next step? Holy Spirit, what is my next step? What is it you want? What is it you're leading me to do? And most likely, he's got a blessing wrapped in that thing. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you speak to your people. If there's those in here that need to be baptized, Lord, move them. If there's those who need to be rebaptized, Lord, give them the confidence and the boldness and the courage. But Lord, whatever it is, let there be hearts, minds, and souls that are in tune with your voice, that are sensitive to your spirit, that'll move when you say move. And Holy Spirit, not if, but which and where do you want each person to get involved in community this semester? What community are you asking each individual to be a part of? So Holy Spirit, I just pray for marriages right now. I pray for finances. I pray for healing for the body, for the ailments. I pray for emotional healing foremost, Lord. I pray for those who are walking in depression who need community. I pray for those who are struggling to know they hear your voice, Lord. I pray for those who are struggling just to come to you. Pray for anybody who needs to know you today, Jesus. And if you're here today and you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that today is the day. And if you're here, I don't doubt that if you don't know him, that he's brought you here for such a time as this and for such a thing as this. And I want you to know the thing that you've been running from, the thing that you've been afraid of, he's sitting there, standing there, wide open arms, saying, if you'll just come to me, if you'll just come to me, you'll receive all the grace and the mercy. You'll receive everything that you've been afraid of. You'll receive and see that it'll be shaken off. The chains will be broken. You'll not have to worry about those things. You'll not have to fret over those things anymore. I just want to encourage you, if you're here today and you need to know Jesus, your Lord and Savior, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. If you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, anybody else, I know there's some others in this room. I want to encourage you today. Thank you. So let today be the commitment. Let day to be the day of renewal. After this service, there's going to be people up here, and they're going to want to pray for you. If you have any need at all, they're going to want to pray for you. Don't leave this room knowing that you need prayer, and you walked away from the very blessing that God had prepared you. He led you. See, the Holy Spirit led you into this room today. He led you to this church. He led you to the community. He led you in a place of safety, of healing, and freedom, Lord. He has led you. He's led you to a place that's known and knows that they can bring healing. He knows. He's trusted us that we can apply principles and help you find freedom, but you're going to have to do the work. And it's going to get hard sometimes because those old memories and those old pains, they're going to want to come up. They're going to want to flush up. And Satan's going to want to remind you, this is how it is. This is just like that. And it's not just like that. This ain't that. I think we need to get back to trusting the Holy Spirit and His work a little bit more, that He's leading us and He's guiding us. And He's brought us to a place, He's brought us to a place to be all in, 100%. There's no half-stepping with the Lord. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you move, that you do your work. And those who have raised their hands to receive Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading them to Jesus so that they can be reunited with the Father. Pray for boldness and courage. I pray for strength. And I pray for others who are looking to take their next step. And we just pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get a good amen, somebody? Amen.